This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I did my shoulder in when I was doing an advert for beer in,
right.
in South Africa. South Africa. When I was doing an advert. And what they did
was... Hello to you.
In the, where, do you know the film Zulu?
Yeah.
Well, we went to where the film Zulu, and yeah. we built that encampment, you know, where they heroically held out.
You recreated Zulu for a beer advert?
Yeah. And I dressed as, like, Michael Caine.
Did you build it yourself? Is that how you did your shoulder?
No. Please. I was just putting you in the environment. We're in the... Is it the desert in South Africa? It's not a desert.
Plains?
The plains. We were in the middle of nowhere in South Africa, yeah? Now, what happened was that there's a warden that comes with you when you go into the plains, like a South African fella.
Right.
And he's there to protect you from snakes.
Right.
To be, like, snake aware and all that and everything. So I got talking to him, and he says the two main dangers out here are something called the puff adder.
Right.
And something called the Black Mamba.
Right.
Yeah, why are you laughing?
I'm laughing at Puff, and I'm laughing at Black Mamba.
Puff Mamba. He could be a footballer, couldn't he? and so anyway, I got talking to him, and he took me... I said, the Puff Adder is really short and really fat, yeah?
Right.
Probably only 2 feet long, but really
For
thick.
For listeners, Bob's holding his hands about 2 feet
two
apart
feet
right
away,
now.
No, really thick. But the beauty of the puff adder is it ain't going to go for you, but if you stand on it or stand near it, you're a goner.
So what does this fella do then?
So he keeps his eye, he knows that he can...
Fucking hell.
What do you mean, fucking hell?
Well, has he got a harpoon or something with him?
I'll come to that.
All right, okay, sorry.
He's the warden, yeah?
Yeah.
To snake man. So I said I would really like to see a puff adder, yeah? Because you can go and look
at a puff again.
Yeah, I'd really like to see a puff adder. So he says, well, hop in. He says, there'll be loads of them up there. He said, hop in. We drove up in. Funnily enough, it wasn't a Land Rover. But
can I just say that I much prefer if someone... I know you're not supposed to call people a puff anymore.
Yeah.
But if you do, it's got to be P-U-F-F and not this P-O-O-F thing. Poof.
Well,
it's got to be puff, hasn't it?
I think, I mean, from my...
Bob Mortimer is a puff.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I mean, P-U-F-F, when I was young,
yeah.
Was there nothing to do with his sexuality.
Was it not?
It was not. I don't think it was a nice thing to call someone.
Oh,
but it meant you were cowardly.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's all tied in, though, I think. Maybe. Anyway, carry on.
So I go up in it, and like, I have misled the listeners because it wasn't a Land Rover. It was some kind of land... I don't know.
Fake news.
What, this whole thing?
Just the Land Rover bit.
Yeah, I did. I fake newsed you up, right up. And so anyway, we went off. And fucking hell, I saw a giraffe, by the way, Andy.
I've seen a giraffe.
No, but in its own habitat.
Yeah.
Doing its chewing thing, side to side, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I've seen one of them.
In its natural habitat?
South Lakes Wildlife Park.
Yeah, near, fucking plastic Kendall. One. The So we get out. There's a puff adder. He says, just be slow or whatever. You're going to be laughing at me. You're not giving me story any
I'm just
credence.
Laughing at puff. I got to stop.
Right. We'll get rid of the puff adder. But I said, I didn't see a puff adder. We were approaching the warden felt instinctively there would be a puff
right,
adder.
Right. Okay.
What happens? Suddenly, he says, get back in a fucking vehicle. Right. I can't. Was that any good? Get back in a fucking vehicle. Right. So what the fuck is happening? So I didn't instantly go. There's a fucking Black Mamba coming out. Now, a Black Mamba, I've told you before about the Mamba. I'm a bit upset because the most scariest thing ever happened in my life. A Black Mamba's run.
They do, yeah.
They've got like
a circle thing, haven't they? They bounce.
No, they go two-thirds of the body raises up erect, yeah? And one... What, are you laughing at erect?
Erect. Sorry.
And the final third, they coil and the runner, you go up to 20 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
So fucking hell. So I ran to the vehicle, and just as I slammed the door, the Mamba hit the glass of my window, and it didn't bite it, didn't penetrate it, and all its venom come out, and I swear on me. Why are you laughing at venom?
I'm laughing at venom coming out. Sorry.
And all this, it must be about half a pint of it, this honey sort of coloured stuff. And then it disappeared. I didn't know where it was. I looked out at the front window, right? And sorry, he got out. He got in the car. He got in the back of the car. And he went out with a gun. I had no idea whether it's a gun or a tranquilizer gun or whatever, but with a gun. Gets out to the front of the car. And then he points the gun at me, right through the window.
We thought you were a puff at it.
No.
Or a puff.
He says, mate. No, I've got to. What's the African? Mate, I'm fucking insane. I'm a fucking rapist, right? So I reversed the car. I won't go into the details of that, but I had to keep down in the footwell.
Right.
Yeah? And just steer best I could to get away from this insane.
Who'd hired this man?
I don't know. So I got away from it, I drove away. But when I
do you think he was working in cahoots with the snake?
Well, you do wonder. You do wonder.
The snake was like the bait.
And anyway, so that's when I damaged, when I was just reversing blind, and I went smack into a boulder or something.
Right.
And I don't know, just because of the way my hand was reaching up to the steering wheel, I just snapped some of the muscles, the tendons or something.
Right.
So
if we could like sort of defake news that story one by one, basically you were down the precinct and you reversed it with bollard because you were smoking.
No,
honestly, you were driving.
Honestly, it's not fake news.
Can you just say once more? Can you, what was it? Get back in the fucking vehicle.
He said, "I'm just in my memory of it." He says, "Get back in the vehicle." No,
did you say fucking vehicle?
Get back in the vehicle. Get back in the fucking vehicle.
That's it. That's a free ringtone for everyone there. You can use that as a ringtone.
Talking about Africa. You know, I told you last week about what happened with the snakes in South Africa.
You did, yeah.
Well, it reminded me of another thing. You want to hear about it?
I do.
So I was there for about a week. No, about 10 days. I was staying in a hotel just next to the big football stadium that they built. You know, it's a car park now.
Is it?
Car park, yeah.
It's Everyone needs car parks, so a football stadium's a ten a penny.
I know, but is that the legacy they really envisaged?
I'm not asked.
Actually, they do sales in there as well, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, that's good. Legacies are overrated, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, everything's a legacy, even if it's destroyed.
Yeah.
There's a legacy, isn't there?
I mean, Pepper's a legacy now. Because Pepper's not coming back.
Oh, God, I hope she finds him. Him or her.
Get real.
Anyway, so I had a day off, so I drove down. Do you know South Africa? I was in Cape Town, but if you go down to the bottom, you can go to the southernmost point of South Africa. I think it's called Cape of Good Hope?
Cape Cod?
Cape Cod, whatever.
Cape Crusader.
And it's, as you go down, it's all like shithole and that, you know?
Yeah.
There's like, there's all these built.
It's the legacy, isn't it? It's apartheid.
But it's a legacy, isn't it?
And not all legacies are good.
Anyway, so you go, and then you suddenly it goes back to like Dutch British influence, and right. Like it's beautiful beaches, seaside, and all that, all the way down.
Bit racist.
Bit what racist? Why?
I just felt racist. The way you said it goes back to the Dutch English influence, and everything's nice again.
Well,
I'm just saying, you might want us to cut that out later on.
And so there's a little place, and I can't remember whether it's called Penguin Beach or something makes me say it's called...
Let's just say it's Penguin Beach for the sake of advancing the story.
So I think I'll stop there. I'll get me a little meaty self down there and have a look at... I've never seen a penguin. I'd love to see a penguin. Wouldn't you?
Edinburgh Zoo.
If I said there's a penguin out there in a box...
Have you not been to Edinburgh Zoo, the Penguin Parade?
A penguin in its natural environment. Tell me about the penguin parade. What happens?
Every afternoon, 1 o'clock, the penguins come out the penguin enclosure and the visitors line the sides of the path.
Yeah.
And the penguins go on a little parade in this little circular thing.
Yeah.
And one of them is the King of Norway.
One of the
penguins is the King of Norway, yeah.
Well, he actually holds that title.
He does, yeah. That's true.
Hmm?
It's not fake news. It's true.
So,
anyway,
I go down to the parking and I park my car, right? And there's a little kiosk there for parking and there's some bloke with there. So I pay up. And I go down and it's this beautiful little cove. Turn a corner amongst the rocks and sure enough, there's a penguin. There's a penguin.
Are you saying penguin?
Penguin. Penguin.
Right.
They call them Pufty. They call them Pufty.
Pufty.
And so I was taking a photo of it and then I hear this voice, South African, say, "Get away from that fucking Pufty!" Is that right? "Get away from that fucking Pufty!" And it's the bloke from the kiosk. You know the bloke?
I thought it might be.
Yeah. No, but honestly, it is. And he grabbed me and he took me up to the kiosk and he says, "I'm sorry about the accent. I'm going to have to fine you, mate, for distressing the birds." Right? So I'm in there with him and he's fiddling about with like a shitty little invoice book or something like that. And then I'm like, "What's the matter?" I look out of the kiosk. And there's a South African copper there, yeah, with his revolver.
Yeah.
I promise you, right? And he says, "Get out of the fucking kiosk! He's a fucking gangbanger!" Right? So he wrestles the bloke to the floor and frog marches him to his car. Then he comes up to me, he says, "Now, I've got to not be Australian here, lackey. Lucky escape." Now that's Australian, isn't it?
Be Australian if you want, it's fine.
South African, lucky escape there, mate. This is his MOD. He hangs around blokes looking at the penguins and then he full on rapes them. So I've only given you the bread and butter of it there. But life in South Africa is a bit like that.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
I've never been, but I'll think twice about going now.
South Africa. Quite a lot happened when I was over there, and there's a little story I'd like to tell you. I was there for 10 days, as you know.
Yeah.
So let's face it, I'm not going to be able to pull off more than 10 stories. Yeah? But on one of the days, there's a really famous restaurant in Cape Town. People who've been there will know it. It's like a VIP place. It's on the beach near the harbour.
Yeah.
And you eat on the beach, and they cook the food and bring it out to you on the beach and that. You get a lot of...
Are you sponsored by the beach or something? I keep seeing it.
You get a lot of, like, the Johannesburg rappers there, yeah?
Yeah.
And a lot of this...
The Joburg Beat Boys.
No, but it's big news, you know, big
is
news.
It?
The South African rap scene,
Some fella rapped at my son on an underground train in Barcelona once.
What did he say to him?
I'm going to save that for another podcast.
Okay, so it's very exclusive.
The rapping podcast I'm going to do.
It's really exclusive restaurant. Yeah. I want to emphasise that. Right?
Yeah.
It's a bit like, a bit like a Phoenix restaurant
in
Sunderland. It's that posh, right? So they have a gate there. You can't just turn up. I got in there because the production company got me in there. They got bouncers on gates before you even drive to the restaurant.
Really?
I just want to say it's important, you know.
Oh.
Got flame lights on the beach and that. We'd phoned ahead. Do you know Randall and Hopkirk? You know, I did a show called Randall and Hopkirk on the telly.
Surprised you bring that up, yeah?
Well, no, it's really...
God, was it?
Yeah, no, but it's really big in South Africa, hence...
Well, do you have to go to, like conferences and stuff?
No, I wouldn't do that sort of shit, but I'm saying that's what got me in there. I'm sat on the table on the beach and I see a bloke in a daft outfit and that, so I want to order some food. So I beckon him over and I say, "I want boiled lobster," right? And I
said, "Did you say please?"
Well, I probably did. I'm just saying, you know, like, all right,
didn't.
I want boiled lobster, please.
That's better.
Well, I said, if it isn't fresh, I'll set a fire to myself, right? And the restaurant will look stupid. But that was called a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So he says, "Well, look, mate, you can choose your own lobster from the lobster pots by the rocks if you don't mind getting a little bit wet." Well, Andy, I had, as you know I would, my chino shorts on.
Yeah.
And he said the water will only come up to your knees, so I thought, I'm going to go for it, actually pick me own lobster from the sea. We climb over these rocks and we get to what is, it's actually an artificial pool, but it looks like it's part of the rocky environment.
Right.
He shines his torch into the pool, and in there you can see tens, if not hundreds of lobsters, Andy.
Really?
Under the torchlight. It's a nice thing to... I love doing this. That's a nice thing to have seen, isn't it, Andy?
It is, yes.
Isn't it, though?
Is that becoming your catchphrase?
So he shines his torch on the lobsters. Mm-hmm. Then he turns around really quickly, cracks me around the head with his torch.
Yeah. Right.
He says, "Get in the fucking lobster pit, you prick!" That's Australian, isn't it?
No, that was all right.
"Get in the fucking lobster pot, you prick!" Something like that. I said, "What the fuck are you doing?" He says, "Shut your fucking face, fat boy." Right? "I'm Chana, the rapper." I said, "Shit, I didn't know. I thought you were the waiter," because he had this, like, gown on.
Right.
And I'll stop the accent. He says, "Do waiters wear..." I can't do it. "Do waiters wear gowns?"
Have a go.
"The waiters wear gowns worth over 20,000 rand, joke boy. I have a Timex gold-plated watch. Get in the fucking lobster pot." And then he strikes me again with the torch, right? Now, I managed to deflect this blow a bit with my arm, Andy, which I was pretty pleased about.
Yeah.
Because I deflected it. I said, "Look, I'm really sorry." I thought he was going to kill me. I said, "I'm really sorry. I thought you were the waiter. You don't have to kill me." Then I hear another voice, quite a calm voice in the darkness, right? "Put the torch down and back off the fat guy." That's Australian, wasn't it?
I can't tell anymore.
Shines his torch up to the top of the rocks, and there is Toofy. He's the really notorious Cape Town rapper.
Right.
And he's got a gun. I promise he's got... It's the first time I've ever seen a gun.
Was it a shiny gun?
Well, he might not have had a gun, but as far as he's in a black, I thought it was a gun. "Jesus, thanks, mate." I said, "I think he was going to kill me." He said, "Just pick up a lobster." Nope.
American.
"Just pick up a lobster and get back to your table." No, that's Aussie. So I climbed up the rocks to make me escape. And as I passed Toofy, I said, "No, it's really kind of you, but why did you help me?" And he said, "It's a pleasure, Mr. Hopkirk. Give more respects to Mr. Randall." I said, "I will do." And he says, "And by the way, he wasn't going to kill you. He was going to stick a lobster up your anus." So
that have killed you then?
Well, I don't know. Can I just ask, Andy, did you think that story was a bit like Castaway with Tom Hanks? Yeah, a bit.
Well, I've never seen Castaway with Tom Hanks, and I kind of wish I'd never heard that story. So, yeah, I'll say yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That was the idea.
Have you got a South Africa story for us, Bob?
Yeah, I have.
While we're ploughing through everything.
When I was in South Africa, you know, I was staying at what you might call a reserve, you know, like a game reserve.
Yeah.
So you have these separate little huts and a central building where they cook the food and a bar and that. So I got back from filming. I was really sweaty and tired, you know, really hard days.
Hard work, proper graft, yeah.
And so I got my meal. It's always ostrich out there. Just cooking out with ostrich.
Nice, the ostrich.
It's all right, but a bit tough the way they cooked it. Some potatoes and some ratatouille. And next to my actual... So I took it back to the hut. It was too hot. And I went back to my hut. And next to it, there was this, like, big tarpaulin on poles. And there were some crates under it. It was like a temporary thing, not a building, you know. But I thought it might be a bit cooler than my hut, which was like a freaking oven.
Yeah.
But the sun beating down it all day. When I say it was like an oven, and it didn't have like an ignition button or shelves or anything.
Right.
It was really hot.
Was it self-cleaning?
So I go into the shelter, and there's a bloke in there. I ain't freaking seen him. But I'm too embarrassed just to walk straight out. So I sit down on the box, and he comes up and he says, "Which hut is your accommodation?" No, that's absolutely wrong, isn't it? "South Africa. Which hut is your accommodation?" No. "Which hut?" No, I'm absolutely wrong, aren't I?
You've spunked it.
"South Africa. Which hut? Which?" Nah, we're going to have to abandon it, I think. Sorry. Yeah.
Are you going to try and finish off that South African one from last week?
I could do,
I think you should, yeah.
Where is it?
A lot of people have been asking because they want closure.
Okay, so just to catch up in case people didn't hear, I was staying at this big hotel that's in the middle of nowhere. It's like a reserve. You get your own little hut. There's a central area there that basically sells fucking ostrich for breakfast, lunch and tea, right? So I pick up my dish of ostrich. I think I'll go back to... I don't want... It's really sweaty here. I'll go out and have it outside my hut or whatever. But when I get to my hut, the heat from the hut is like all empowering. It's like the entirety of democracy in a capsule.
What?
It's, you know what I mean? It's just too fucking much.
Democracy in a capsule.
Now, next to me hut, there's this big tarpaulin, like on poles, under which there's some crates and that. Like a temporary thing, not a building, you know what I mean? But I thought it might be a bit cooler than me hut. Because that was like a fucking oven, to be honest with you. So I get into the shelter and there's a bloke in the corner I hadn't seen. Right, but I'm too embarrassed just to walk straight out. So I sit down on a box. He comes up and he says, ah, here we go.
Go for it.
South Africa. Which is your accommodation?
Oh, God, right, no, not again. Shit.
Which is your
accommodation? I can't help you, I can't
South
do
Africa.
It.
South Africa.
You can say South Africa in a book.
Which is your accommodation?
Just do it like that.
I can't do it like that. Which is your accommodation? Fucking hell. He says, which is your accommodation? I'll have to carry on. So I point to me hut and he says, I'm going to rub. Fuck. I'm going to fucking rub the shit out of it.
You nearly got it.
Hold
there.
On, what do you mean?
I said, oh, yeah.
I said, that's a bit unexpected. Shut your English mouth. I'm a motherfucker. You say anything, I'll ram this sardine tin up your anus. The head of hotel security arrives, right? He's pointing a rifle at the bloke and he shouts at me, get out of the temporary shelter! He's a fucking gangbanger! So I back out, right, and run into my hut. A few minutes later, the head of security bangs on my door. You okay, sir? I said, oh, God, hey, do you know he was going to ram a sardine tin up my ass? Would he really have done that? You bet he would. He staffed the previous guest with a tin of corned beef and a bottle of bilberries. Fucking gangbangers, you've got to love them. Then he left. What can I say, Andy?
Well, you salvaged it in the end.
I won't try to get any laughs out of being
I'll
there
I'll edit
tonight.
Out the bits where you fucked it up at the start. We'll try to pretend it didn't happen.
Should I do South Africa then? I will do, I think. I was in the hotel bar when I was over there watching football, right?
Right.
Just me in there and a little bloke behind the bar called Sammy. Little Sammy, lovely fella. Lots of hunting stuff on the walls, Zulu spears, shields and that, whips, that sort of shit, you know? And I was watching Man United v Liverpool. He asked me who I supported. Sammy did. I said, I support Middlesbrough. He laughed, right? Mm-hmm. So I farted and he laughed again, so I fired, and we did this for a while.
You're a people pleaser, aren't you, Bob?
That fun.
Yeah.
It's that fun and no harm with it. Suddenly, I hear the TV turn over to some obscure tennis tournament. It's a big, bearded, massive Dutch Afrikaans bloke, yeah?
Right.
I said, oh, excuse me, mate. I was watching the football. I don't care if you're playing in it, mate. I'm watching Federer. His arse is like a god to me. Well, I go to speak again, but little Sammy gives me a look as if to say, just leave it, Bob, leave it.
Yeah.
Then the man turns to me. If you want to watch your lady ball, there's another TV in the conference room. So Sammy nods, points to the conference room. I take my pint through and I go in there.
Yeah.
So I'm stood in front of the TV with the remote. I'm just trying, you know, you have to try and get the right input to get it.
Yeah.
When the big bloke strides in, take your trousers off and start feeding that remote control in your anus, boy. Well, he's a massive bloke and there's no one around, so I think, shit, I started taking my trousers off. Suddenly, Sammy comes in. He's got a spear and a shield and he's got the point of the spear right against the bloke's neck.
Yeah.
He says, there'll be no remotes fed into anuses on my shift, mate. Now get back in the fucking bar, rice and sugar. I probably should have done that South African, shouldn't I?
Is Sammy South African, is he?
Yeah. There'll be no remotes fed into anuses on my shift. Now get back in the fucking bar, Rice and Sugar. So Rice and Sugar leaves and Sammy watches him all the way. I say, thanks, Sammy. Why did he want to feed the remote into my arse? Mm. Sammy says, just for the kudos. He wanted to kick you up the arse to change channels. Fucking gangbangers, you gotta love them. So, I was in South Africa.
Were you?
As you know, last year it was. And
lots of things happened to you.
Some terrible things happened to me. So, I was in the hotel. I really fancied some chocolate. Do you ever get that?
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's there'll be a flake or buttons. Mm-hmm. The taste of them will just enter my mind and I need them, right?
Or suck a twirl.
Oh, twirl, the greasy twirl.
Yeah.
With its greasy covering. The ripple was fucking greasy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Milk soft.
So, milk. Oh, yeah. Walked up there. So they didn't have any fucking, they had this chocolate, cooking chocolate at the hotel. It was shit. So I thought, I'll walk up, I'd say in a garage, just normal garage, shell garage sort of thing. So I walked up the road to see if they had any. As I walked through the forecourt, there was a bloke like cleaning, sweeping up, cleaning the pumps and that.
Yeah.
I said, oh mate, do you sell chocolate here? And he says, no mate, you need to go to Rudy's. Great selection, blow your fucking mind. I said, oh, where's Rudy's? And he spotted I was British, so he said he'd show me. Right, I thought it was nice of him. So we walk up the road a bit. He says he really likes the Bounty.
Right.
In fact, he says, I prefer the Bounty, but the Star Bar's a genuine beauty. What are you going to get? I says, I fancy a Mars bar. Might even have a Crunchy.
Yeah.
Get to Rudy's. He says, wait here. Rudy doesn't like the British. Give me the rands and I'll get the bars. And I only have a 10 rand, yeah? It's about £5.
Right.
So I trust him. I give him it. He comes out with a little carrier bag full of chocolate bars, asks me where I'm staying. I tell him, he says, oh, well, follow me. I know a shortcut. And he goes down this alley full of, like, I've got to be honest, it was disgusting, like, full of dog dirt, used condoms, nappies, that sort of thing. And then suddenly he stops, Andy. So imagine how awful this is, and he pulls out a really long hunting knife.
Shit.
Sharp steel hunting knife. He says, take off your clothes and bend over so your nose is touching a dog bath. Well, with a knife in my face, I was like,
what else can you do?
I do as I'm told.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he hands me a Dairy Milk.
Oh,
right?
That's says, all
right. Take it out of the wrapper and move it into your anus. Oh, God. So I start taking up. Off the wrapper, and just then I hear another voice. Get out the fuck out of here, you fucking gangbanger! It's Rudy
from
Rudy's store. He says, "Hi, I'm Rudy. You okay?" I says, "Oh yeah, thank you so much." He was making me put chocolate into my ass. Do you think he would have killed me? He says, "You bad English. He would have bludgeoned you with a condom full of dog bath." Fucking gangbangers, you gotta love them. And that's what another incident that happened in...
Another incident involving the exposure of your age to peril.
Strange country.
It's a very bizarre country.
Yeah, full of villains, full of heroes.
That would have stopped after Mandela got out, but...
No, seemingly not.
Just carrying on like that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So one of the days when I was in South Africa, I was filming in a set that's like it's a replica. You know the film Zulu?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's got sandbags on the outside wall and a little hut and all that. I'm playing a British soldier waiting for an attack from the Zulus. All the other soldiers were just like white South African extras, you know. So that's a nice pool of people to choose extras from, isn't it? And white South Africans. I'm in the classic period costume. Can you imagine it? Red jacket, beige like sort of jodhpur things,
right?
And black boots, like
smart.
Not smart, yeah. And I'm holding a beer because that's what I was advertising. I'm crouching behind the sandbag wall with a little plump bloke called Richard De Freyers.
Oh,
that's a nice name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Richard De Freyers. So on action, we have to crouch right down, and every time we do it,
as I'm crouching and the camera's going past on her track, I feel what it feels like a finger stroke the outside of my stretched jodhpurs next to my anus.
Sorry,
that's
carry
the
on.
Final take. I'm a bit, you know, fed up. So I turn around and I say, "Excuse me, Richard, but I'm sorry, what do you think you're doing?" And he says to you differently, "What are you talking about?" I say, are you stroking my trousers just adjacent to my anus? He says, "Nah, not me, boy." No, that wasn't wrong. "Cheeky Africa. Probably a cheeky snake or rodent. Fucking menace they are, and they love an anus." I said, "Oh, right, it's local. Right, that would explain it. I'm really sorry, mate. So, look, here, have this cold, nice cold beer, you know, my mistake and all that." Well, after that, we get on quite well, and we arrange to meet for breakfast the next morning, because he's got a boat on the marina, and the marina kept on beautiful. He says he'll do breakfast for me there. He says, tells me the boat, it's a blue boat with big bright orange flag. So I'm up early the next day and I make my way to the marina. Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
There's a scruffy blue boat with their orange flag. I reckon that's it. There's a bloke on the deck. I say, "Is this Richard de Freer's boat?
Yeah.
And he nods, beckons me on board. He opens the door to the galley and points for me to go down.
Right.
Now, he hasn't said a word, right? Now, Andy, do you think that he hasn't said a word because it's, like, ominous or because I struggle with the accent?
I'm not that bothered.
Okay. Anyway, as I step down, boom, he pushes me from behind and I fall down the stairs, yeah? I hurt my shoulder.
All right.
Bang my shoulder. Okay. That's not a very nice place to hurt yourself,
no,
is it?
No, on the body.
No, so then he says, "Take your fucking strides off and push your butt up towards the moon!" Well, what can I do, Andy? I've hurt my shoulder. So I'm in no position to fight back. So I take my trousers off and I push my arse up towards the ceiling as best I can.
Yeah.
Then he says, "Take this cup of flannel and place it in your anus." I say, "Okay, that's fair enough." I say, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I'm going to fill your cavity with Lucky Grahams and full fat milk."
But he did it South African, yeah.
So in this state of, like, shock that I'm in, you know, I start... So, sorry, I should explain. He says, you know, he says, "Fill your cavity with Lucky Grahams."
Yeah.
I'm absolutely shocked, because I never thought for 1 minute you could get Lucky Grahams in Cape Town.
Is Lucky Grahams even a thing?
So, is it Lucky Grahams?
It's Lucky Charms, isn't it?
Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams and Lucky
so
Charms.
Golden Grahams.
Because Joss Angeles eats Lucky Charms.
Well, it's Golden Grahams. I wouldn't have thought you could get them in Cape Town.
Different culture, isn't it?
Yeah, so in the state of shock, I start feeding the thin end, obviously, of the funnel into my arse.
Obviously, yeah.
When suddenly the galley doors burst open and there's Richard de Freer's with a taser.
Whoa.
Yeah? "Leave the old man alone and fuck off my boat, you wayward prick!" So the bloke puts his hands up, scuttles round Richard and leaves the boat. I say, "Oh, thank you, Richard. What? Why did he want to put cereal into my ass?" He says, "He's part of the breakfast and buggery movement. Just wild kids looking for a way to liven up the morning meal." I say, "So he would have eaten it. He would have eaten it literally out of my cavity." "Yeah, with a fucking ladle. Gangbangers, you've got to love them." And that's what happened to me this half a day.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Do you have dreams about that?
Do you know, I blanked out South Africa till we started doing this, but I think it's good for me to get rid of all this shit.
Have you any interest in a South Africa?
I'm not fussed.
Well, what would you prefer?
I haven't had a chance to try my laugh out very much today. But
sorry, man.
You can have a go.
All right. Well,
yeah,
it was a day off in South Africa, right?
Yep.
And I wanted to go driving just by myself. You know, freedom of the open road, Andy.
Feels beautiful.
Go where I want, spirit of adventure, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I've never driven on the right side of the road, ever. So I asked the hotel to arrange for a cabbie who'd let me drive around for an hour or so I can get in the groove, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this chap turns up. He's got an Honda Legend. That's quite a nice car, Andy.
My son's favourite car is the Honda.
He likes the Honda.
He has an inexplicable obsession with Hondas at the minute.
And this is a nice one. It was their executive car.
Is it?
don't make it anymore.
I'll tell him this story then.
So it's quite a nice car. We drive around for a bit and it's good fun. Chap's name's Kenneth. And I've never met an unpleasant Kenneth, have you, Andy?
The jury was out on one Kenneth that I used to work with a long time ago.
Always seemed all right to me. So he's a nice fella, you know. So I said, why don't you stay with me for the morning? I'll buy you a slap-up lunch at Le Colombe, right? Now, that is a nice place. One of the top 50 in the world, Andy.
Is it?
Yeah. Seventh in the world on TripAdvisor.
In the world?
Yeah. Condé Nast's second best restaurant in Africa. You're making a note of that.
Yeah.
And very famous, funnily enough, for using tiger's milk in its cooking. So
I love a bit of tiger milk.
Well, who knows? It's on the other side of, like, Table Mountain National Park, about a three-hour drive. So we get out of town. We're passing through this little township called Verratti, something like Verratti.
Yeah.
He tells me to pull into this little ramshackle garage so he can fill up.
Okay.
It's the same system as UK, so he fills up and I go into the shop to pay.
Yeah.
I get in there, knowing about it first, right, but few shelves of groceries. I like to have a look around, you know, I'm in a different country at the groceries.
Bit inquisitive like that, are you?
Yeah. And there's a freezer chest with ready meals in it. And I pick up one out of interest. It's got a handwritten label on it. It says meat curry. Looks quite homemade, you know what I mean?
Sounds a bit drab.
Just then, Andy, this is where it all turns to shit, as it always seems to there. Bloke comes in from around the back. He's got he's got an axe in his hand. So fucking hell.
Here we go again.
So he says, put that fucking meat curry back in the freezer, you fat cunt. So, Andy, he's got an axe, so that's exactly what I do.
You're going to do as you told, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So he says, now take your trousers off and put these ladies' tights on. God. I said, come on, mate. Life doesn't have to be like this. Jesus.
Oh, man.
He said, don't give me the chit check, you prick. Put this tiny cone-shaped hat on. So I put the tights and this tiny little hat on. And he says, do a lady dance and shit in your tights. Well, I'm just about to drop some mud out when Kenneth comes in. Oh, thank God. I say, this bloke's trying to make me do a dump in me tights.
Oh,
well, the man turns his axe towards Kenneth. Kenneth shouts at me, get back in the fucking Honda! So I scarper out, and just as I'm getting back into the car, I hear a gunshot. Kenneth comes out with a gun in his hand. He seems really calm.
Yeah.
So, oh, thanks, Kenneth. Do you think maybe he would have killed me after as soon as I'd had a dump? Like, yeah. He says, yeah, definitely. He wanted your flesh to make more ready meals. Fucking gangbangers, you gotta love them. So, like I say, Andy, I never met an unpleasant Kenneth, and this one was even more than that. He was a hero for me.
He was.
And he drove me all the way back to the hotel, even though I'd shit in me tights. You know.
Did he let you sit in the front?
No, I sat in the back. I did sit in the back.
On a towel or something.
So what did you think of that story?
Hey, I think that's one that we might get animated. Unlike your vile Zlatan story that you told before.
Let's go South Africa. On one day we were filming like in a creek, you know, lots of bushes, long grass, rocks and that. So we had to have a little talk from a warden fella first about the different types of snakes we might encounter, how to react if we come across one, suitable clothing, blah, blah, blah. Very interesting, actually, Andy.
Yep.
The main thing, it turned out, was like just to be snake aware, you know. Keep your eyes on the floor, for example, when you're walking.
Yeah.
Because the puff adder lies out in the sun and it's really well camouflaged. So if you see one, just walk slowly away, right?
Sounds plausible so far.
The black mamba, most lethal snake in the world, yeah. Now, interestingly, that has a very distinct smell, like burning rubber.
Right.
So take that as a warning. And like burning rubber, if you smell that...
Black mamba.
Black mamba. That's a very interesting warning order, that, isn't it, Andy? Burning rubber. Don't you think?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. The African spitting cobra, yeah? It'll raise its neck up. If you see it puff its neck out, you know, like cobras do, that means it's about to spit. Put your goggles on, because it'll spit at your eyes.
Right. I need to retain this information, don't I?
Oh, fuck yeah. Be particularly careful near bushes, right? The vine, or twig snake, as it's called, exactly mimics the appearance of, like, a small branch or a twig, yeah?
Yeah.
Disturb it, bite.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, Andy, it's actually the smallest of the nasty snakes. It's really thin, about 3 foot long, yeah? But funnily enough, it is the most lethal on account of the fact that there is no antidote.
Is this leading up to some comedy?
Yeah, but I thought I'd fill you in on my day.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
It hunts its food by smelling for dung.
Ooh.
The vine snake. Nasty, and there's no antidote, right? So we film a little piece. I'm dragging a cart with some beer barrels in it. Huh. And when I got to the right position, there's a bit of tape on the floor, you know. I glug some beer. That's right. The end of the shot. Do about 20 takes. So obviously, I'm desperate for a piss.
And shit-faced.
No, I won't. No, I won't shit-faced. Why, yeah? I don't think so. The warden, I said, I need a piss. And the warden points me to a path through the bush and says to me, walk up the path about 100 yards. I'll see a little clearing that he's put a bucket in. He says, there's a green flag on the far edge of the clearing and you must face that flag when you're peeing so the smell doesn't go... So the smell goes away from the crew.
Right.
You know? And absolutely no shitting because that'll attract snakes.
Yeah.
Right. So I walk up the path, start having me piss in the bucket facing the flag, you know. Suddenly... There's a tap on my shoulder and I feel the steel, the knife against my throat. That's not very nice, is it, Andy?
Cold steel.
Yeah. And then this, I turn round and this fella says, no, I don't turn round just yet. So and then I hear this fella say, turn around and don't make a fucking sound. So, I mean, Andy, what can I do? He's got a knife and he specifically requested that I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, pull your trousers down to your knees and insert your thumb into your anus. Well, I would do as I'm told, Andy. I can't see another option. He said, now remove your thumb and rub the cack onto your wilbur. So I did, right, put my pants down and then and rub some cack onto me and Johnson, you know, like. Yeah. Then he pulls out this long, thin plastic tube with a twig in it and he takes...
The probe tube.
Well, I have no idea at this time, Andy. And he takes the cap off of one end and holds it right next to me, Johnson. Yeah.
Some would say Douglas.
Some would say, well, the twig starts to move, right? And I can see it's not a twig at all, it's a vine snake.
Whoa.
Now you're glad you knew the information from earlier.
I've forgotten
the most
vine snake
deadly
one.
Of all the
Is
snakes.
Is that the one without the antidote?
No antidote. Its head emerges. And its tongue starts lapping the air, like only a couple of inches from me dying.
Mm.
Yeah? Because, of course, it can smell the cack that he's made me rub on it, you know?
Stitched it right up.
Yeah. Presumably, he thinks that me dying is just like a little mouse or something,
yeah.
You know, that for his tea. Well, I'm thinking, this is it, Andy. This is it.
Yeah.
So I just close my eyes, waiting for its fangs to sink in, you know, but... Nothing happens, and then I hear a sound. Hear the sound of what sounds like a man falling to the floor. So I slowly open the eyes, and sure enough, on the floor there in front of me, it's the bloke, and he's got a crossbow bolt in his chest. And the snake's nowhere to be seen.
Fuck.
Then I hear the warden.
South Africa, you okay, Freddy?
I say, yeah, but I thought I was a goner. Thank you so much. He says, yeah, it's a good job I'm a fucking pervert and was watching you piddle. I says, all right, so that's why you told me to face the flag. Yeah, I've got a little hard there with binoculars and some nibbles. I fucking love it.
Got a little what there?
A little hide.
Oh, hard. I thought you said hard.
Yeah, so I said, well, thank God for your little hidey hole. So did this bloke want me dead then?
Yeah, that's why he used a biney.
That's kind of Shirley, isn't it?
South Africa Viney. That's why I used the Viney. Fucking gangbangers. You kind of love them. By the way, you tell anyone about my fucking secret and I'll rip your fucking guts out with this 1960 spanner.
I said, oh, the secret's safe with me, mate. So it's a bit... Do you think that's a bit like the movie Platoon, you know? I'm thinking of the wardens a bit like, you know...
I kind of was. The bit where you said... What was it you said? Something like, I didn't think I was going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think. I thought that was.
I kind of thought you were going to make it because you're like, hey, now. So there wasn't that much suspense at that moment. Apart from that, it was really good.
South Africa. And I remembered something that I might want to tell you about my time in South Africa.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it or do you want to just pack in there.
Oh, you seem to have weirded in there with it already.
So one of my days off filming, I thought, I'll go out for a bit of sun and a swim. So I went to the Blue Rock Water Park, mm-hmm. Andy. Big water park just outside on the outskirts of Cape Town. Caught a bus from just outside Rudy's General Store, right. And he popped out to say hello as I was waiting, you know, with me trunks and me towel like. So Rudy says, All right, Bob. No, that's not it. That's Jody.
Is it?
All right, Bob. You look terrible. You look a terrible weak bitch today. Where are you heading to? It's Asian, isn't it?
It's
South Africa.
It's not
he
bad.
He popped out. To a soft. Where are you heading to? A soft play area for the feeble bodied. I said, no, Rudy, I'm going to Blue Rock Water Park. Do you know if it's any good? You bet, Blue. They got 100 foot near vertical speed slide that will give you goose gogs, a right thud. Make sure you're well secure or they could end up looking like fried eggs. It's a terrible South African. Yeah, we'll do, Rudy. So 20-minute bus ride, I'm there. Lovely hot day, lovely place. Put me stuff in a locker, change into me trunks, head straight for this big speed ride, this big 100-foot vertical drop that Rudy was on about. And there's not much of a queue. I reckon a lot of people didn't fancy it, and it's quite intimidating when you see it.
Yeah.
So at the bottom of the stairs to the ride, you have to pick up this like padded PVC sleeve that you wear, like sort of like a skirt to soften the impact when you hit the bottom.
Yeah.
So at the top, the last bit's this sort of 10-foot ladder, and it's onto a platform, and there's a bloke there who tells you how to put the skirt on and releases you down the tube safely, right. You know. So I get on the platform, and shit, he's got a pointy stick, yeah? And he presses the pointy stick against my face, yeah? He says, take your fucking babies off your prick and kneel like a dog! Well, what can I do, Andy? He's got a pointy stick. Right, and I'm like on the sharp end of it, do you know what I mean?
Just do as you're told.
So I get down on all fours, and he says, Start feeding the padded PVC sleeve into your pooper, you prick, while I draw Yogi Bear on your nutsack. Well, I do as I start, and I start feeding the sleeve in the ears, and he's saying, faster. Wants speed.
Fast.
Well, Andy,
accuracy as well, or just merely speed?
Speed. So, Andy, I take a chance. I dive right past him down the chute, yeah?
Yeah.
Bang! I hit the bottom, balls first, and they instantly swell up like avocados, you know? And so I've got to get back to my locker to get my stuff, and I'm naked. Everyone's laughing at me because my balls are making a humming sound, a bit like a dehumidifier might make,
yeah.
Or a beehive.
Right.
You know.
Beehive makes a noise. Like bees.
Yeah, but sorry. Many bees. Yeah. Anyway, back on the bus, I get off at Rudy's and go in to see if he's got any lotion or painkillers, you know, for me knackers. I tell him that the bloke made me feed the padded PVC protective safety skirt into me Terence, and he says,
gangbangers, you gotta fucking love them, bro.
I said, well, look, Rudy, would he really have made me put the whole unit up there? He said, South Africa.
You bet, Blue. They fished a black out of the water last week with a bouncy castle turret up there and 3 kilos of Play-Doh. Like I say, you gotta fucking love them.
And then he advised me to wrap some streaky bacon around my plums and sleep upright that night facing the moon.
Right. So did you do that? Did it help?
I did that. I was right. Right, it's rain the next morning. So cheers, Rudy.
Can I just apologise for asking if... you know, if beehives make a noise during that. I know that they make the noise of bees, but I didn't know whether there was some kind of mechanical element to them as well.
No, I just meant that.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear that up with you.
Yeah. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.